Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to Leumi's fourth quarter and full year 2016 results conference call. All participants are present in listen-only mode. Following management's formal presentation, instructions will be given for the question and answer session. For operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded March 30th, 2017. I would like to remind everyone that forward-looking statements for the respective company's business, financial condition, and results of its operations are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those contemplated. Such forward-looking statements include, but are not limited to, product demand, pricing, market acceptance, changing economic conditions, risks in product and technology development, and the effect of the company's accounting policies, as well as certain other risk factors which are detailed from time to time in the company's filings with the various securities authorities. A PowerPoint presentation is available on the bank's website, www.bankleumi.com, will be used during this conference call. I would now like to turn the call over to Ms. Daphna Golden, VP Investor Relations. Ms. Golden, please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Ladies and gentlemen, we would like to thank you for taking the time to join us on this conference call of Bank Leumi's annual financial statements for 2016. Ms. Raketa Rissa-Kamenoach, President and CEO, will present the major takeouts from the statements together with our first EVP and CFO, Mr. Omer Ziv. We are also joined here today by my colleagues, Dr. Gil Bufman, Chief Economist, Mr. Shlomo Goldfarb, Chief Economist, and on the line is also Guy Fischer, Deputy Head of Capital Markets. The presentation can be found on our IR section of the Leumi website. In addition, you should have a link to the online presentation. I will now turn the call over to Raketa.
Thank you, Daphna. I'm proud to present Leumi's annual financial statements for 2016. 2016 was an excellent year, not just because of the figures appearing in this year's financial statements, but also because these figures represent a milestone on our journey, a journey we started several years ago. The results we achieved this year clearly demonstrate the consistent and clear progress in most of the bank's business parameters. Progress that we see both in this year's figures and in our readiness for the years ahead. Our achievements this year give me full confidence to tell you that the bank I'm presenting today is a better bank than the one I presented to you a year ago, and it is certainly a better bank than it was when we set out on our journey several years ago. Today, we see a bank that is stronger, more efficient, and much more prepared for the challenges that lie ahead. Our organizational structure is more customer-focused. This will enable us continuous growth in strategic segments. Our competitive edge has been strengthened as the leader in digital banking, an edge that will become even more important in the years to come. Our operating model is leaner, more efficient, and better prepared to face the upcoming challenges. Our credit portfolio is, without any doubt, the best in the banking system. However, the most outstanding expression of Leumi being a better bank today is the fact that we are announcing a dividend distribution policy as of this quarter. The last time Leumi distributed dividends was in 2011, based on the 2010 results. In our meetings and conference calls over the past years, the main points of discussion were the issues of capital adequacy and a dividend distribution policy. Now, after implementing several initiatives for increasing our capital adequacy, and together with our strong financial results for 2016, we have reached a core capital ratio that enables us to distribute dividends. Moreover, Bank Leumi is reporting this capital while it is the only bank in the Israeli banking industry that has finalized with the U.S. authorities, meaning that all the implications of the U.S. issues are already reflected in the capital reported. I'm happy to say that this cloud has been completely removed. At this point, I will hand over to Omer, who will present the details of our financial statements.
Thank you, Raketa. I'm going to show you a short review and analysis of Bank Leumi results for 2016. Through the presentation, we will see many details and figures, But what is more important is not the individual data and figures, but the overall theme, the music, which combine all the figure and data that show very clearly the improvement in our activities, in continuation of the trend of past years. I'm moving on to slide number 3. In 2016, we achieved a net income of 2.8 billion shekels, similar to 2015, and a return on equity of 9.3% compared to 10.3% in 2015. The decrease in the ROE is mainly due to the increase in the capital requirement and because of the effect of material one-time items, which were significantly higher last year. I will elaborate on this later on. When we look at the core banking activity, excluding one-time income and expenses, our core business improved significantly. Let's look at the data in the table. Net interest income grew by almost 6% in 2016 compared to 2015, as a result of our continued focus on retail and commercial middle market. As for credit loss expenses, there is an income of 125 million shekel, which is attributed to the collections of debt which we wrote off in the past. As for non-interest financial income, there is a decrease of around 300 million shekels, mainly due to the fact that in 2015, the profit from selling the Israel Corp share in Mobileye was much more significant than the profit from Visa Europe in 2016. When it comes to commissions, the income amounted to about 4 billion shekels, similar to last year. Concerning other income, the decrease is mainly as a result of sizable income attributed to the sale of buildings in the US in 2015. As for expenses, there is a decrease of approximately 250 million shekels compared to last year. The decrease is mainly in salary as a result of the continuous trend in the reduction in our workforce, a trend that I anticipate will continue in the future. The reduction was also affected by the insurance refund in respect of the settlement with overseas authorities regarding the US customers, which was offset by the expenses for insurance of our apartment guarantee portfolio, which started in 2016. Moving on, taxes in 2016 were affected by more than 300 million shekels because of the decrease in the tax rate. This negative impact was offset partially by tax income related to selling and shutting down subsidiaries. To sum up so far, when we look at the core banking activity, excluding one-time items, our core business has improved significantly. On slide number 4, we can see a credit growth of about 9% in the last 2 years. In 2016, credit growth became more moderate, mainly because of the equity constraints, which forced us to slow our growth. In addition, in 2016, we sold 1.6 billion shekels to Menorah related to mortgage and we made substantial syndication transactions. We can see clearly on slide number 5 that because of the equity constraint, we chose to increase our business in retail and middle market, which have both grown by approximately 5% in the last 2 years. In corporate business, where the spreads are lower, we chose, because of the equity constraints, to decrease our credit. We will see later on that for the end of 2016, RT1 adequacy ratio is materially above the minimum requirement, and so I anticipate that in 2017, we will grow also in our corporate business. On slide number 6, we see the ongoing trend of increasing the weight of our retail business at the expense of corporate business. In 2008, the weight of retail business was 43%, and it increased consistently to 62% in 2016. Moving on to slide number 7. We can see a material increase in our deposits which amounted to 347 billion shekels in 2016, an increase of around 21% in the last 2 years. Moreover, we can see that our credit to deposit ratio improved from 84% to 76%, reflecting a clear trend of liquidity ratios getting stronger year after year. The pie chart on the right shows the diversity of our deposits. At the end of 2016, 55% of the deposits are retail deposits. Let's go on to slide number 8. Net interest income in 2016 increased by 5.7% compared to last year, and by 8.1% in the fourth quarter compared to the corresponding quarter last year. This growth was despite the fact that the interest rates remained low and was driven mainly by the growth in the credit in retail and middle market business. Interest margin went down slightly from 1.84% in 2015 to 1.75% in 2016, mainly because of the increase in the weight of bonds and deposits in central banks and because of an increase in the expenses for deposits. On slide 9, we see that the increase in the interest income is mainly in the retail and commercial middle market, which is offset by the decrease in corporate business because of the equity constraints, which I mentioned earlier. Let's go to slide number 10. On the left chart, we see a continuous improvement in our NPL ratio from 2.8% in 2012 to 1.2% in 2016. On the right, we see that the problem debts amounted to 7.6 billion shekels in 2016, a decrease of 30% since 2012. Not only have the problem debts declined, but the mix of debt has also improved. In 2012, the impaired debt was 55% of the total problem debt, and in 2016, it decreased to about 40%. On slide 11, we see the low credit loss expenses in the past 4 years. The low interest rates have materially affected these expenses, as well as the net interest income. Slide 12 shows us a snapshot of our diverse commissions. Total commissions amounted to 4 billion shekels, similar to last year. When we break it down, we can see an increase in credit card commissions from 23% to 26% of the total amount in 2016. In account management, the decrease is mainly due to the regulation. In securities transactions, the decrease is due to the fact that in 2016, there was a trend of moving from the capital market to deposits. Let's go on to slide 13. The total operating and other expenses dropped by 2% from last year. Salary expenses dropped by 5.3% compared to last year, when we take out one-time effect. Other expenses were reduced mainly due to the insurance refund, which offset by the expenses related to our apartment guarantee portfolio, which started in 2016. On slide 14, we can see a decline of about 2,200 employees since 2012, half of it in 2016, mainly due to the efficiency plan which took place at the end of 2016. Most of these employees left the bank during the last quarter, so we expect an additional drop in salary expenses in 2017. Furthermore, the diversion of banking transactions to direct channels allow us to merge branches and reduce service methods that require a physical presence. Let's go on to slide 15. On the left, we see a 21% increase in our Tier 1 equity ratio, half of it in 2016. We also see a material increase in Tier 1 capital adequacy ratio, from 9.1% in 2014 to 11.15% in 2016. At the end of 2016, our Tier 1 ratio is significantly above the minimum requirement, which is 10.3%, and also materially above our internal target for the end of 2017, which is 10.5%. This buffer allows us to adopt a new dividend policy after 6 years and to grow in our various business lines in 2017 onwards. So, starting from the first quarter of 2017, we will pay quarterly dividends of 20% of net profit, which reflects a 2.3% annual dividend yield. To conclude, as I said at the beginning, throughout this presentation, we saw many numbers and figures. But what links them together is that in 2016, Bank Leumi continued in the successful implementation of its strategy. We improved our capital adequacy ratio. We are the only Israeli bank of those involved which has fully resolved the U.S. issues. We continue to demonstrate a high ROE year over year. We continue to benefit from our high quality credit portfolio. And we will carry on the streamlining of our expenses. As regarding salary expenses, I expect further drop in 2017. This bundle of steps has enabled us to adapt a new dividend policy. Thank you. Now, let me turn the call back to Raquel.
Thank you, Omer. After Omer has presented the results and before we turn to Q&A, I would like to take a couple of minutes to present to you the strategic perspective of Pepper. To start with, even before Pepper, Leumi is by far the most digital bank in Israel. We have the best banking app, Leumi Digital. We were the first to launch innovative digital services, and we have assimilated digital as part of our brand. So, given all this, why Pepper? Pepper is here to address the needs of a unique population, the millennials, a group for whom the current banking model is simply not relevant. The current model does not satisfy this group, not from its UI perspective and not from its cost perspective. This group, aged around 18 to 35, will continue to grow and will become a much more significant part of the population to be served by the banking system. Pepper is already offering them a different banking experience, an experience much more similar to the services that they are used to and like to consume. Winning over these customers will position us at a good starting point in the years ahead. In addition, Pepper, which was built on a new and separate core system, creates a pilot environment for replacing Leumi's IT core system in the future. Pepper is helping to mitigate the risks that are usually associated with replacing core systems. The Pepper app is already live and running in a pilot framework. By now, Pepper has several hundred customers, and we are continuously improving and promoting our value proposition. I would like to thank you all for being with us this evening and would be happy to answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Your request will be pulled in order they are received. Please stand by while we poll for your questions. The first question is by Tavi Rosner of Barclays. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi everyone. Thanks for taking my question. First of all, congratulations on reaching the capital position that you talked about. I'm aware it's been a long journey. Looking ahead and where we see your capital surplus, on the one hand, you have the surplus. On the other hand, you talk about a 20% payout. It seems a bit conservative. So trying to understand if you're planning on raising the dividend payout in the future, or if you're planning on growing your credit more aggressively in 2017 and beyond?
Hi, Tavi, it's Rekefet. Actually, you're right, but as you know us, first of all, we are conservative. We think about growing our credit portfolio in the next couple of quarters or and in the next years. And also, we have no controlling shareholder that needs our dividend desperately. And we are starting now with a 20% dividend policy, even though we can get an approval from the Bank of Israel to distribute more. And we will keep this capital to grow our credit portfolio and enjoy the revenues that will come with it.
Okay, that's helpful. And regarding Pepper, can you share a sense of what proportion it's going to be? I'm not talking about revenues, because you say it's very early stage, but ultimately, cost-wise, what would it account as part of the total group?
Tavi, is it still you? Because we can hardly hear anything. Tavi?
Yes. Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, now it's better. A lot better. What did you do? Stop driving or something?
Exactly. When you have the call at 6 p.m. on a Thursday, that's one of the...
Okay, we apologize for that. Okay.
No, don't worry. My honor.
Can you repeat your question,
again.
Please?
What's the expected cost for Pepper, if you can share that? I would ask about revenues, but I understand it's still very early stage.
First of all, we are at a very early stage. The cost of Pepper is not a number that we put in the financials, so I'm not going to say it, but I can tell you a couple of things. One, Pepper, most of the cost of Pepper relates to the IT core system of Temenos, the ones that we are going to use for the bank to replace our core system. So actually, the extra cost above this number is not significant for the bank.
Okay, understood. I'll go back to the queue. Thank you, Rakefet.
Thank you, Tavi.
The next question is by Margarita Stressless. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for the presentation. I wanted to ask about the loan growth. So the clearly 20% dividend payout ratio leaves a room for a significant increase in a level in a pace of a loan growth. But basically, the same situation was in the fourth quarter, and we still haven't seen much of a loan growth. So what is what's preventing you from basically starting to grow? Is that the lack of demand, is very high competition, and why should this change in 2017? Thank you.
Thank you, Margarita, for your question. And the answer is fairly simple. The answer is that in credit, mostly when you work with clients, you cannot change the direction in weeks or in very short while. So you will see the growth in 2017 because till the end of the third quarter or close, even November, when we published the third quarter, we were still in a position that we were very cautious with capital. So this is the reason why you don't see the growth in the last quarter of 2016, but you absolutely, we are sure you will see it in 2017.
And how do you see yourself relative to the market? Because they're clearly very aggressive, smaller competitors trying to grab market share. And you now have Pepper. Do you think you'll be able to maintain the market share and grow in line with the market, or would you aim to exceed the market growth? Or do you think you probably will, the smaller competitors will outgrow you? So how do you see your position within the competition?
Okay, so I think we should divide the answer and relate separately to the different segments. If I look at the real estate and the corporate segment, we did a lot less than what we wanted. We did a lot less than what our clients asked us to do. and we will be happy and they will be happy that we will do a lot more. We consider to be the most professional in credit, in corporate credit in Israel, and the market is there for us. And now when we have capital, we will do a lot more than what we did. Actually, what we did in the last 2 years was reducing our credit portfolio in this segment, and we are going to change this direction. Commercial market, we are the largest and the best in the middle market in Israel, and we have a great place to continue there. Retail-wise, we are growing in the last couple of years pretty significantly. We are planning to continue our growth, but be more cautious. And the reason is that we want to be very conservative regarding credit risk. And also, and not less important, if I look at our retail segment, Pepper will be a growth engine in the millennials.
Okay. Another question I had on the costs. So of course, the impressive results of the previous efficiency program. But do you think there is a room for a new program? And if you expect to come out with a new program within 2017, maybe it would be worth just giving your thoughts on that. And also, in terms of the cost of replacing the IT systems, do you think most of that was already kind of came through while you were developing Pepper, or do you think we'll still can see a big chunk of it once you kind of apply the same technologies for the bigger group? Thank you.
Okay, so actually there are two subjects here. I start from the side of headcount and salaries, and we believe we have enough room for more efficiency programs and more streamlining processes. And the only thing is that we did a very, very large efficiency program in 2016. We reduced our headcount by more than 1,000 employees, which is a huge number. And we want to make sure that we are stable after this process before we go to the next one. But the answer is absolutely, we are going to have more and more efficiency programs. This is part of our life from now on. And it started already in 2012. And I don't see when we are going to be after. This is just part of a yearly process. So this is regarding headcount. When I talk about, excuse me?
No, I was just saying, thank you.
Okay. And regarding IT, so the answer is pretty simple. What we are going to have when we talk about replacing the whole IT core systems of Lumi, it's going to be a project of around 5 to 7 years. And of course, the investment is going to be very, very significant.
And how do you think it will be reflected on the your efficiency ratios or cost growth? Is there any kind of target or level that you would still would like to maintain despite the significant IT investments? Anything that you can share with us?
It's still too soon to evaluate it, but Markepes talk about 5 to 7 years, and the depreciation of this is about 10 years. So we're talking about 10 years from now on, or maybe more. And furthermore, it will come at the expense of depreciation of the current core system. So it's going together. So I don't believe that it will affect our efficiency ratio materially, because it will spread for many years.
And besides that, or in addition, it's not just that it replaces what we will have now, what we have now, even more than that, you have to take into account that our IT expenses today are more expensive than what we are going to have after we change the core system, because as everybody knows, when you move from the patches and the way core systems used to be in banks till today to the new technologies, it's going to be a lot cheaper, and the operational expenses that goes with it are a lot less than what we have today. So at the end of the day, we believe that replacing core systems will make the whole IT cost less and not more.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. And just one last follow-up from me. Omar was constantly referring to one-time expenses. Can you just clarify what exactly you're referring to so we are on the same page?
When I told about the one-time expenses regarding the salary expenses, is the expenses like the bonus for the efficiency plan at the beginning of 2016. So when I take this off, the decline in the salary expenses is about 5%.
Okay, but there were no one-off expenses in the fourth quarter, right?
In the fourth quarter, there was nothing.
Okay, good. Thank you so much. It was extremely helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Margarita.
The next question is from Micha Goldberg of Excellence. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. First of all, congratulations on a very good year and a good quarter. A couple questions, if I may. I just want to clarify something about the dividend policy, because you mentioned you wanted to be conservative and still grow your risk-weighted assets and credit. I'm just wondering, based on the numbers that you're providing, you have excess capital right now around 2 billion shekels, and if you do return equity of 8% next year and you pay out 20% only, you will be able to grow your risk-weighted assets by over 10%. Is that the rate we should be expecting, or if we're looking at 5%, why can't you be conservative and pay out 35%?
Micha, I will just remind you that we still have our last part of the pension liabilities that you have to take into account in our capital adequacy. And when you take that out, it changes the numbers. So
that's 20 bips, right, per year?
Around. And then we have our efficiency plan, the one that the Bank of Israel allow us to divide into 5 years. So you have to take this one as well.
So okay.
Another one.
And we will have it, and we think about more plans. So if you take everything into account, you will not get 10%.
Okay, I get it. In any case, it's very good you guys are paying out dividends. Another question, if I may, and you're probably the expert on this, Rakefet, on the whole issue of asset quality. I mean, it seems like most of the banks, including yourself, although not on the bottom line, are showing some sign of deterioration in the household market and credit. And I was wondering, you know, what is your view on that when you look on the overall cycle, where we are and loan growth and what we're seeing? I mean, numbers seem to be jumping quite dramatically across the sector. Is this something we should be worried about in the sector perspective? Do you think, you know, there is something here that we should be paying attention to?
Actually, I agree with what I heard from my colleagues in the banking system, that the risk with the retail loans or the credit portfolio in the retail side, the risk has increased. We are not in the same place where we were 2 or 3 years ago.
And how do you think this will develop? I mean, you have a lot of experience with, you know, the developing cycle, something that could jump and blow up in our face. I mean, everything seems to be so good in economic perspective.
You know, it's a bit too long answer to answer in this conference call, because you have to ask a lot of questions. What's going to happen with the unemployment rate, with the interest rate? But generally speaking, I can tell you that, and you can see in our numbers, that unlike the years 2013, 2014, and even 2015, in 2016 we didn't continue growing by two digits percent. We grew only how much, almost 6%, which is different, and it's not a coincidence. It's not a result. It was something that we planned. And also, looking forward, we are thinking about lower growth than we used to have in the previous years because we think that the risk there is higher.
Okay, thank you very much for that clarification. I have another question on asset quality, if I may, on the corporate segment. I mean, in the last couple of years, you've done exceptionally well in recovering a lot of these outstanding impaired debt. And just looking forward, I was wondering if you give us any kind of color on what we should be expecting in the current, you know, cycle of the economy. Could we be expecting similar kind of recoveries looking forward? Should we be expecting it when credit growth is picking up because you have more capital adequacy out there? We should also expect costs to go up. How does that correlate when you look at overall cost of risk going forward?
I'm not sure I understood your question. Are you asking about what we are doing, what we are going to do in Leumi?
I'm asking, of course, specifically to Leumi, as that's what we're talking about. No. I mean, you've had a lot of corporate recoveries in the last couple of years. You've done a great job in recovering that debt. And I'm asking, looking ahead in 2017 and further, is this something we should continue to expect? And I'm adding to that, I mean, of course, you've reduced your corporate credit in the last couple of years, and now you're saying, Omer said, you're going to be expanding into the corporate segment, I'm assuming selectively. Should those two things combine, both on the general provision side and then the specific one, should that be something that we should be looking at forward as an increase in charges? Or is it the same? How do we look at that when you look at a corporate segment?
Okay, first of all, when I talk about expanding in corporate side, the only thing I mean is that we will continue working as we used to for years, except for 2015, 2016, meaning that we will grow wherever we believe that risk-wise is the right place to go. And that means that we intend to keep the quality of our credit portfolio and not to grant credit where we believe that the risk is too high, like we used to do. You talk about the potential of the recoveries, it's clear that we are, or the problematic debts, as Omer presented, are getting lower and lower. So even though we, you know Leumi, and you know that we provide very conservatively, and that's why we have so many recoveries. Being in a position where our problematic debts are lower, the recoveries will be lower. But still, we use the same method of providing very, very quickly and very conservatively, the way we always did. So recoveries will always be there. Probably they can be smaller, but still do.
Still okay, do. Very clear. Thank you. My last question, and then I'll let go. On cost efficiency, you've done a great job on cutting costs. I'm just wondering, when you look at 2016 figures and you try to strip out all the revenues, one-time revenues, and the one-time costs, it seems to me that cost-to-income ratio is still relatively high. And I'm wondering, maybe, you know, if you have any kind of guidance where you think these numbers can go or should go in the next couple of years. Are they going to decline? Or are we going to see similar kind of rate, or am I looking at it the wrong way? Thank you very much.
Okay, first of all, I think we agreed that our cost ratio is too high, and I think that's the only place that we feel that we didn't put all our challenges behind us, and it's good because we need something to do in the next couple of years. You know, we don't have capital adequacy issues, we don't have the Americans anymore, so we will deal with cost effectiveness, and yes, we have more to do. And I don't put any target of efficiency ratios because I think it doesn't make any sense. Any time you have a change in interest rate or changes in fees because of regulation, your efficiency ratio changes. It doesn't mean anything about your efficiency. So the way we work, we talk about our cost, the level of our cost. We both agree that what you said is right, that we have a way to go. And as of today, you know that we did everything we promised, so we will do this one as well.
Thank you very much. It should be boring to get boring. Thank you, Omer, for a great first presentation. Take care.
Thank you, Mika.
Thank you.
The next question is by Michael Klar of Citibank. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Good evening. Most of my questions have been answered, but just on the credit card business sale, we saw that you, or it was reported that you've hired an investment bank to look into a potential sale. What are your expectations? How long, you know, is that a 2017 event? What are your thoughts around that? Thank you.
It's too early to answer, Michael, because we are still waiting for the Bank of Israel to determine some parameters that will be very relevant for the sale. As you know, we already made all the preparation that we needed, but now we are in a position that we are still waiting for Bank of Israel to determine some stuff before we can proceed.
What are those issues that you're...
I'm referring mainly to the interchange, that before it will be determined by the Bank of Israel, we will not be able to proceed with any processes of sale.
Okay, and you expect, you know, is that a political decision or it's purely regulatory decision? When would you expect that to be clarified?
I believe it will be a professional one. We understand it will be sometime in the summer.
Okay.
So
right.
we are in a position of waiting.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
If there are any additional questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by. We poll for more questions. There are no further questions at this time. This concludes Leumi's fourth quarter and full year 2016 results conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.